May it please the court. I'm Aaron Holtz, and I represent the appellant, Cedric Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell was a passenger in a vehicle that was stopped by Officer Stockwell in a residential area of Hot Springs, Arkansas. The only reason that his vehicle was stopped is because Officer Stockwell ran a search in the Arkansas Vehicle Insurance Database and was informed that the car's insurance coverage status was unconfirmed. To be clear, Officer Stockwell's computer did not tell him that the vehicle did not have insurance coverage, but instead that it was unconfirmed. In other words, the officer's computer told him the vehicle may have insurance or it may not. It literally said it's unable to verify insurance for this vehicle, and it said valid insurance policies may exist that are not available in the system at this time. So the issue presented in this case is whether such a result is sufficient on its own to provide reasonable suspicion or probable cause to believe that a traffic violation was occurring. We contend that it is not.
So if it had come back, I'm sorry, your three were no insurance, unconfirmed, yes insurance. I paraphrased you. So if it came back no insurance, is it your position that that would have been, absent any other concerns, sufficient for the stop?
I don't know if I want to go quite as far as to concede that, but I think that would definitely put it a lot closer. I think we would have less of an argument. And the only reason that I qualify that is because there wasn't really any information presented in the record, presented before the district court regarding the system, the reliability of the system.
Right, and that kind of is getting at my question, because the district court did have a little footnote that said that the defendant does not contest the reliability of the database. So we're really just focused here on what the unconfirmed means?
That is the crux of the issue, is yes, what it means to be unconfirmed.
Yeah, but there's no... The record's not developed, and so this is kind of, well, it's speculative. But the issue is, I'm having a hard time figuring out what kind of a computer system that any state could have that would tell you that a vehicle is not insured. I mean, I think that the most negative they can get is it's unconfirmed, right? I mean, it's like the story is, if you have insurance on the vehicle, you're supposed to register the insurance. If you don't get it registered, then, you know, it's unconfirmed, and nobody certifies that I have an uninsured vehicle, right? And so the third part of that can't ever happen, right?
Right. Well, my understanding of the way the verification system works is the insurance companies that are registered in the state of Arkansas are the ones that report the status to the state. So yes, I mean, I guess, you know, to some degree
The most negative statement they're ever going to say is what they said here. It's unconfirmed,
right?
And you should rely upon the information that the driver gives you.
Right. And I think, you know, I think that kind of gets at another point that's relevant and interesting, is that I think that really the thought behind this is, you know, we want to provide something for law enforcement to be able to determine whether insurance exists. But this is one of those things that if you've already stopped somebody, this is something you check, and you're trying to see if they have insurance. If they can't show it to you and it doesn't say it, then that statutory presumption, which we acknowledge exists, there's a rebuttable presumption by statute in Arkansas that when it shows unconfirmed that you don't have insurance, at that point you rely on what the driver gives you. But I don't think this was intended to be something for law enforcement to just be going, running random plates, finding unconfirmed results, and then stopping people to investigate.
And because we didn't hold a hearing here, we have no idea what the officer would have testified. And the officer might have been said, hey, we're all trained to make this stop under these circumstances. We do it. And 87% of the time they are, in fact, uninsured, blah, 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 or whatever, right? I mean, but here, you had the hearing. At that hearing, nobody actually challenged the stop. The judge writes an opinion, drops a footnote saying nobody's challenged the basis for the stop. Then we have a challenge to the basis of the stop. The judge, I think she scheduled the hearing and canceled the hearing, you know, but the record is never actually developed. So we don't know what this system is or what it does or how it's usually handled by officers.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's exactly my point. And you did relay all that accurately. That is exactly what happened. There was a motion, a hearing, an order denying the first motion, second motion, hearing scheduled, then canceled when the court about a week before when the court decided to just rule on it without having a hearing. So yeah, we don't know, and that's a big point here is we don't know in the context of the record of this case what exactly the system is, how often it returns this kind of result or not. Obviously our case gets a lot weaker if the officer gets on and testifies, anytime I see this, almost all the time, there's no insurance. I think that is different. I have to concede that. This specific situation hasn't been directly addressed by this court. The district court, in its opinion denying the second motion to suppress, cites to United States versus Stevens, the 2003 case of this court. And I think we've established why that is distinguishable from this circumstance. It's a similar circumstances, but it's not the same here. The situation presented in Stevens is clearly distinguishable because the law enforcement received information from a confidential informant in that case. Mr. Stevens is at a specific hotel. He's got meth. He's got a gun. They see him leave that hotel. And then they run a check. They find that his license plate tags were not on file with the state system, and that his Missouri's driver's license has expired some years prior. So even though the court in Stevens zeroes in on that, and they don't really I acknowledge they don't really talk as much about the other information that there might be criminal activity going on. They do focus on that, but even if you exclude all that information received from the confidential informant, you still have the fact that you've got a license plate displayed on a vehicle. The license plate is not on file. That's something that's completely the state. I think that's something that suggests this license plate is no good. And that also the individual driving the vehicle, they know who he is. He's got an expired driver's license. I think that's much more indicative of potential unlawful activity than a database result suggesting that a vehicle might have insurance and might not in this case. I just think that's a lot different than what the district court called this situation is ambiguous. It was ambiguous as to whether or not this vehicle and this driver was insured or not in this case. And I think that's fair. And again, we're just arguing based on an ambiguous computer database result that we don't have anything in the record about its reliability. That's not enough to provide reasonable suspicion with nothing else to justify a traffic stop.
So the Stevens case didn't talk about reliability of the system either, though, did it?
I don't specifically recall, Your Honor. I don't specifically recall whether it discussed reliability or not. But again, I guess I would assume that it maybe was not challenged. And again, I just think that the issues there were clearly more indicative of criminal activity going on. I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so I'll reserve the balance. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Kevin Eaton on behalf of the United States. The district court here correctly denied Mr. Mitchell's second motion to suppress. Its decision that there was reasonable suspicion for Officer Stockwell to conduct a brief investigatory stop relied upon a long line of cases from the Supreme Court, from this court, and even from the state of Arkansas, establishing that the information that the officer had on hand at the time he executed the stop was sufficient to provide him with a particularized and objective basis for believing that the vehicle in which Mr. Mitchell was traveling was uninsured. That is enough to establish reasonable suspicion, which is all that was necessary for that stop to pass constitutional muster.
Does it matter that, if I understand correctly, that the officer actually testified he thought the information he got from the database was that he was not insured, and that was not actually accurate?
Your Honor, Mr. Mitchell makes much of that in his brief. However, the suppression hearing transcript actually shows that both the defense counsel and the officer used varying phrases throughout the testimony about what it actually showed. But we have the actual exhibit. We know what it showed. And we know that the officer conducted the traffic stop on the basis of what he saw on that report, which was that it was unconfirmed and that it said that the Arkansas system was unable to verify insurance. And so he testified that that was the basis for the stop. The ACIC printout showing the AOIVS return was entered as an exhibit at the suppression hearing. And so that was, it was very clear why the stop was made. And of course, at the time, the only time we have officer testimony was at that first suppression hearing, because at that point, the validity of the stop was not even at issue. And so that's why there was really no follow-up, because nobody had at that point contested that issue of fact. In fact, it's not until the first time on appeal that Mr. Mitchell has even claimed that there is maybe an issue with the reliability of the system, or that he wants to fault either the government or the officer for not independently and ex ante putting that information before the court in the first instance. The government would suggest...
What we have, the entirety of the testimony in the first hearing is simply a question, and what was the reason that you made that stop? Answer: it showed had no valid insurance through my in-car computer system. Question: okay, so you can run the plates through a system in your computer and it'll say whether the vehicle has insurance or not? Yes, sir. That's all you have. Now, in another place in the record, there's a statement that he ran that search because he was a little suspicious because of the time of day that this car was driving around in this residential neighborhood. That's basically a classic mirror hunch, right? You can see that whatever that is, that's not a reasonable, articulable suspicion, right?
The government, of course, is basing reasonable suspicion on the result that was displayed when he
exactly.
ran.
Exactly. But all we know about that display is these six lines, right? And whatever, then you think that's an adequately developed record for us to find that that is a reasonable and articulable suspicion to base a stop? Because it certainly doesn't rise to probable cause of anything.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, this court has been abundantly clear that a district court is not required to conduct an evidentiary hearing unless the papers definitively show a contested issue of fact. And it's worth noting that even in the second defendant's motion to suppress, where he first raises the issue of the legitimacy of the stop, he doesn't request a hearing. And I would note the distinction there, because in the first motion to suppress, he actually does request a hearing. And so as the district court noted in footnote 3 of its opinion denying the second motion to suppress, at no point below did Mr. Mitchell ever challenge the reliability of the system. And so what you have, the record that you have, Your Honor, I would suggest, is Stevens, is the Stevens case. Where a record check came back, it showed that the information was not on file, and this court said that was sufficient to establish reasonable suspicion for the kind of investigatory stop that occurred there and the type of investigatory stop that Officer Stockwell conducted in this case. The point of allowing these kind of Terry stops is to confirm whether or not he, in fact, have a crime at foot that he's trying to investigate.
If we look at, Broca-Martinez, and we look at that case, there was actually a hearing, and during the course of that hearing, the officer testified about the system, how it operated, how reliable it was, what information it gave him, and what unconfirmed actually meant. And we said that was okay. But we kind of intimated that somehow looked like that was important. Now, it was important in the decision of the case and that facts, because at that point it looked like clearly they had a reasonable suspicion. It was articulable because he articulated in open court, right? This is a little different because we don't have that. And I know it's your argument that we don't need any testimony under the AOIVS or whatever that system is called, because it's just good enough on its face. But how would you address an argument that might be advanced that says that you really need the result plus some explanation of the system?
Your Honor, I would make two responses. The first is that the defendant has relied upon the Broca-Martinez case, which, of course, is out of the Fifth Circuit, for the proposition that there needs to be some affirmative demonstration of the reliability of what information that the officer is using. Had Mr. Mitchell kept reading, Broca-Martinez also says, or the absence of information that it's not reliable. And so Broca-Martinez, in and of itself, doesn't even fully support the defendant's position, because there is no evidence in the record here that the system is unreliable. In fact, it's been codified by the Arkansas legislature. It is a central part of what the courts and police use routinely. So that would be my first response. The second is a more fundamental concern, which is that the defendant seems to want to ratchet up the level of proof necessary for reasonable suspicion. The court in Wardlow told us that reasonable suspicion requires only a minimal objective justification for conducting a stop for the purpose of dispelling the officer's suspicion and determining on ambiguous facts whether there actually is a violation or not. And so the government's position is, as this court has recognized in the Stevens case, is that where the officer is presented with some ambiguous facts, that is why we have the kind of investigatory stops allowed by Terry and Stevens and a line of cases where the officer is allowed to conduct a brief investigatory stop to figure out, is there actually a violation ongoing?
But what about our case in Hanel, where we actually said we upheld a stop based on reasonable suspicion and ambiguous database information, but made it pretty clear that's not going to be an across-the-board kind of result here? You've got, and actually addressed, some issues related to the database itself.
Your Honor, what I would say is that, as this court has consistently said, whether or not a particular stop or an officer had reasonable suspicion for a particular stop has to be based on the totality of the circumstances in each case. And so each case is going to be different.
Well, sure. But we did highlight the fact that, as you know, was the database inherently unreliable? Were they competent in using it? Were they competent in accessing it? So there were other additional factors that would presumably speak to what you've identified as the totality of the circumstances.
Sure, Your Honor. I would suggest that if that were challenged here, we would certainly be in a different world. In other words, the reason why our cases have said that a district court is required to conduct an evidentiary hearing only when the papers make it clear that there's a contested issue of fact is to avoid these kind of situations. Because we have a line of cases that say if a defendant raises for the first time on appeal an argument in favor of suppression that he never advanced below, then under Rule 12, those arguments are waived. And that's the problem here. The district court was never presented with any argument that the database was unreliable. And
what was contained in the second motion? It challenged the stop, but not the reliability?
Correct, Your Honor. It said that the database result was not sufficient on its own to provide reasonable suspicion. And then it went to a second argument, which was a 14th Amendment argument that the officer kind of picking and choosing which cars to stop was a violation. The defendant, of course, has not raised that issue on appeal. So the only thing from that second motion to suppress that is live is the return of the database. But Judge Kelly, to your point, again, this is exactly why we force defendants to raise these issues in the first instance. It would be akin to a traffic stop that was conducted based on an officer using a radar gun. And the radar gun says the defendant was speeding. And requiring the government, in order to get to reasonable suspicion, to put on information that the radar gun was reliable. In other words, the fundamental difference here is that the defendant is seeking to ratchet up the necessary quantum of evidence, quantum of proof, that a government has to introduce to justify the stop. And that is simply inconsistent with the Stevens case. It's inconsistent with what the Supreme Court said in Wardlow. I see that my time is expiring. I'm happy to answer any questions.
You know, I just have just one quick thing. You know, it's basically the officer testified that when asked, was there any driving violation that he observed, he said, not that I recall. And then he was asked, what was unusual? He said, well, you're there on the back roads late at night, you know. And he said then he used his discretion to run the report. And then once he got the tag report back, then he made the stop. Now, that's all laid out in the second motion. And so how is that not raised the issue that's then before us here? Is it he needed to add another question that says, and there's no evidence that says that this system is even reliable?
Your Honor, even a minimal argument or something that would tell the district court there is an issue of fact, because the issue of fact that the defendant now wants to suggest is that the government was required to put on that evidence. But at no point did the defendant ever suggest in either of the two motions that there was something unreliable about AOIVS. And so there was literally nothing in the record that the district court could glean a contested issue of fact that would have necessitated a second hearing on that point. And again, I would note that had the defendant wanted that, he certainly could have requested that in the motion. He did not do so. And he could have, after the district court explicitly made clear in footnote 3 that the defendant wasn't challenging that and denied his suppression motion, at least asked for the district court to reconsider or said, hey, there's an issue here, and I think that there needs to be some more evidence. But the defendant did none of those things.
Thank you.
We would ask that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you.
First, I just want to point out that I pointed this out in my reply brief, and I feel like it's kind of happening again. I feel like the government is attempting to shift a lot of the burden onto the defendant in this case. When we came in the motion and said that, you know, based on this result, reasonable suspicion did not support this traffic stop, it's not our burden to prove everything. It's the government's burden to prove that an exception to the warrant requirement applied. It's the government's burden to prove that
but isn't it your burden to raise the issue sufficiently so that the district court could know that there was a fact question and therefore needed a hearing?
Your Honor, I believe that we did what we needed to do to raise the entirety of the issues, you know, regarding reasonable suspicion. I think that we did that based on the motion that was filed, Your Honor. And again, I want to point to the fact that the testimony that Officer Stockwell did present suggested that he was unfamiliar with the system. The fact that he said, oh yeah, it came back, no insurance. I think that even that, what is in the record from that testimony at the first hearing suggests he was not familiar with it. So what evidence there is, regardless of whose fault it is that it's not in there, there's very little evidence regarding the system, regarding the officer's familiarity with it. And I do think that based on the other cases cited in the briefing, that is something that is important to consider. And that's something the court should have been on notice about, that the only thing that was being relied on here was this system. Well, what about the system? You know, what we need more information in the record about the system. And a hearing was scheduled that was later canceled by the court, regardless of whether it was requested by the defendant or not. I see that my time is expiring,
it was not requested, though, right? The hearing.
I'm sorry.
The second motion did not request a hearing, right?
That is true. That is true.
Thank you,
Your Honors.
Argument was helpful. Thank you, counsel, for your appearance today. You may be excused.